the repeated refrain of Psalm 46, "The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge," forms the central theme of what I would like to say to you this morning. They are words of comfort in times of difficulty. The psalmist begins with those marvellous creation metaphors of the ocean swelling and the mountains being cast into the midst of the sea. Obviously, the psalmist is going through troubled times himself, and therefore he is singing and speaking to us this morning, if that should be our experience. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Those of you who are retired or semi-retired and have the opportunity of watching the countdown program on television will know that on that program there is a young lady by the name of Susie Dent who from time to time takes her pen cam and points to words in the dictionary and enlarges them and highlights them and gives to us the definition of the words in the dictionary. Now, there are three words in this particular psalm that I want to highlight for us this morning. They are the words refuge in verse 1 and the word river in verse 4. And then sovereign ruler, which doesn't actually occur in the text, but which is the meaning of the last stanza of the verse beginning at verse 8. So, if we take the opening words of the psalm, God is our refuge, and we put the emphasis upon that first word, upon the word God, and read it, God is our refuge, then you can see that this is a Jehovah psalm. It is all about God. And if you put the emphasis on that word God or Jehovah, it indicates that this is a psalm where the emphasis is on the person of God and who he is and what he can do. It is a Jehovah psalm, if I can put it in that way. But if you move now from emphasizing the first word to emphasizing the second and say God is our refuge, then you find that little phrase, God is our refuge, takes on a note of triumphant certainty and assurance and confidence. This is a psalm of confident faith in God. God is. There is no doubt about it. He is our refuge. And then if you move again the emphasis to the third word, God is our refuge, you can see that although this is in some respects a personal psalm, it is also an our psalm, or as the Scots may say, a we psalm. It is a together psalm. It is a congregational psalm. It's an assembly psalm. It is a we psalm. God is our refuge and strength. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It is a psalm of Jehovah. It is a psalm of assurance and confidence in God. And it is a congregational and together psalm as well as an individual one. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. The psalm then is a confident note of faith in God. He is, verses 1 to 3, he is supreme over all nature and creation. In verses 4 to 7, he is supreme over all the people in the city. And in verses 8 to 11, he is supreme over all the forces of opposition. A psalm for times of crisis and calamity. A time when the oceans roar and the mountains are cast into the sea and the earth shakes. Metaphors for times of trouble, times of trial. God is with us in our troubled days. God is with us in our lives together. God is with us in our personal crises. I don't know what troubles you have brought into church with you this morning. I shall be very surprised if all of us are entirely trouble-free. I can think this morning of a friend of mine who has recently been made bankrupt. And yet he tells me he knows that God is with him. The God of Jacob is his refuge and the Lord of hosts is with him. It may well be that somebody here this morning has suffered the trial and the calamity of bereavement. Somebody who has been dearly loved has been taken away. And yet this psalm for us this morning will say, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Maybe that somebody has experienced the calamity of betrayal. Somebody loved has betrayed us. I don't know what your troubles are, but this is a psalm which is a great comfort in days of trial and tribulation and discomfort of the spirit. God is our refuge. Verses 1 to 3. God is our refuge in stormy days. You see, God has provided in himself our refuge. And that is grace, is it not? We cannot demand that God provides for us a refuge in himself. He has provided it. In his own perfect will, he is our refuge. And we cannot demand it. It is of grace. He has provided in himself a place of safety. That is mercy. It is undeserved. We cannot deserve his mercy. We cannot say to him, Lord, in my troubles I deserve for you to be my refuge. It is of himself and in his mercy that he has provided himself as a refuge. God has provided in himself a place of grace and mercy and intimacy. For although this psalm is not a psalm which uses the word love, it is permeated with the idea that God cares for his people. Grace cannot be demanded, it can only be received. Mercy cannot be deserved, it can only be received. And love cannot be taken for granted, it can only be gladly received. So, with all the saints of all the ages, we are led gently by the Spirit to the cross of Christ. For there we will find grace unmerited and undeserved. He is our refuge from judgment. In the cross we find mercy is bestowed upon us. He is our safety and from condemnation. In the cross we find his unspeakable love for us. The cross of Christ is a place of grace and mercy and love. God is in himself our refuge in stormy days. My wife and I frequently visited the Keswick Convention years ago, and I remember on one occasion we were taking a stroll in the Keswick Park. It was one of the fine days of the week, I remember, as we set out on our walk. And we were sitting on a seat in the park with our back to the prevailing breeze. And over the mountains, unknown to us, came those familiar storm clouds of the Lake District. And before we knew anything hardly about it, we were drenched to the skin. And yet, we found a tree under which we could take shelter, a tree which provided refuge from further downpours of rain, from further drenchings, from further distress. So we took ourselves from our seat and placed ourselves under the huge tree which provided for us a refuge from that particular storm. It was a tree that God had provided. We had not demanded that there should be a tree. We had not expected to find refuge in such a tree, but there he had provided a tree for our refuge. It was gracious of him to do so. And yet we had to take ourselves from our seat and place ourselves under the shelter of the tree. We were, by faith, to put ourselves in the place of refuge. God is our refuge in stormy days. By a confident faith, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We hide ourselves under his shadow and under his refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Verses 4 to 7. God is as a river to sustain his people. God is as a river to sustain his people. This is another of the vivid metaphors of the psalm. Jerusalem had no real river of its own. There were wells and there were springs and there was a pool of Siloam. But apart from a stream in the Kidron Valley, Jerusalem had no river. And yet the psalmist, in his inspired vision, can see the Lord of hosts, the God who is our refuge, is also as a river to sustain his people. A city, a gathering of people living and working together. A city, a picture of a gathered church. A city, a gathered people of God in which he delights to dwell. The people of God, a church, depending upon his sustaining spirit and life. The church of God is where the Lord delights to protect his people. I think about a river. From time to time we travel from our home in Leicestershire to Wiltshire, and eventually we come to the Roman town of Cirencester, and then a little to the southeast, 6 or 7 miles, the village of Kemble, which is the source, the geographical source of the River Thames as it begins there and finds its way through the towns and then to Oxford and to London and out to the sea. And as you think about a river, of course its origin is not in Kemble or wherever the origin of the River Tyne may be, if you happen to be northeastern people, or where the River Mersey has its origins, if you happen to be Lancastrians. But the origins of the River Thames is not really in Kemble, it's in heaven, from where the waters of the river come and it flows out towards the sea and returns again via the heavens to come back again and on its course. And so it is, you see, with the sustaining river of the Lord in the midst of his people. It comes from heaven and it flows on. River, you know, the engineers, the civil engineers, can temporarily divert a river, but eventually it will find its way to the sea. Civil engineers can cause a reservoir by creating a dam across the watercourse, but law has it there has to be a compensating flow of water around the dam, so that the dam is not entirely stemming the flow of the water. It cannot be prevented from reaching its destination. And so it is, as we think about this metaphor of Jehovah, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, and he is also as a river flowing through his people, sustaining them, allowing them to live together. 1948, I think it was, I found myself in the middle of the city of Cologne in the early hours of a Monday morning, arriving at the station, to be amazed at the sight that we saw as we emerged from the station. They had rebuilt the station by 1948. They hadn't needed to rebuild the cathedral, for that had been marvellously and even miraculously preserved, as it were, standing there in all its majestic, marvellous glory as a monument, as a tribute to the Lord of hosts. And yet for the remainder of the city centre, just piles of brick and rubble and stone, and people living in their cars and in their caravans. And we noticed that they had built a number of temporary bridges across the river, but the river had flown on. All the flights of aircraft and the bombings had destroyed the city, but it had not destroyed the river. And people were bathing in it, people were washing in it, people were washing their clothes in it, they were even taking it for water and boiling it. They were fishing in it, they were living from the river, and the river had flowed on and on and on, because rivers cannot ultimately be destroyed. So it is, God is as a river to sustain his people, and the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, as a river flowing through the Church of Christ, the Church of God, sustaining his people, whatever their need may be. Then, verses 8 to 11, there is a ruler who is sovereign over all. I will be exalted amongst the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. The psalmist's way of telling us that the God who is our refuge, the one who is as a life-giving, eternal river for the sustaining of his people, is also a sovereign ruler over all of us. It may seem to the watching world that God has abdicated his throne, but it is not so, my dear friends. His sovereign rule is for time and for eternity. It may be that atheists and agnostics, to them, our God may appear to be impotent, but he is not, he is not. You think of Abraham, a God who called Abraham and did all those marvelous things through the man who he chose. You think of Jonah, you think of Daniel, and you think particularly as Christians this morning of the Lord Jesus. through whom the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, worked the miracle of salvation through the cross and through the resurrection. No, our God, the Lord of hosts, is with us. He is sovereign ruler, and he has not lost his impotence, nor has he abdicated his throne. It may be that our learned scientific friends believe that God is capricious. One is favored here and another is overlooked here, but he is not capricious. It is he who has said that he so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that all the world through him was his will that they should be saved. Sovereign rule. Don Carson, in his book Transforming Your Spiritual Life, it's a book about all the prayers of the Apostle Paul, he talks about the sovereignty of God and explains that the sovereignty of God lies behind all historical events, and yet the sovereignty of God lying behind all historical events is not in the same way. He, in his sovereignty, in his exalted power, lies behind every event, sometimes with a permissiveness and a restraint, as in the case of Job, or again in the case of Jonah, or in the case of Joseph, and in the life of Jesus. He allowed, he permitted, though he was still sovereignly ruling, he allowed, as Peter puts it, wicked men with their hands to nail him to the cross. So the sovereignty of God lies behind all historical events, sometimes permissively, sometimes to permit, but then very often the sovereignty of God lies behind the events of history to promote and to act. Again, in the life of Job, and in the life of Jonah, and in the life of Joseph, and in the person of the Lord Jesus, though he permitted in his sovereignty Jesus to be put to death, in his promoting activity, God took that same death and made it a saving act, and then raised Jesus from the dead in his sovereignty. So that the sovereignty of God, his exalted power, lies behind all events, historical events, sometimes to permit and sometimes to promote. But all the time, God, in his sovereignty, is ruling over his people and over the world. And then, you see, he comes to this. Because God is our refuge and our strength, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, therefore, he says, be still and know that I am God. Because God is our, as it were, a river flowing with its life through our congregations and through our churches, through the assemblies of people, through the Church of Christ. Because of that, the Lord of hosts says to us, be still and know that I am God. And because he is exalted above the heavens and above the earth, and is sovereignly ruling over all and at all times from time to eternity, because of that he says, be still, and know that I am God. You see, it's not a word simply, be comfortable. It's a word, be quiet. Stop raging. It's a word of command. Be still and know that I am God. We used to sing, I don't know whether we still do. I haven't sung it for a very great number of years. It's a little chorus which goes like this. God is still on the throne. And he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in time of trouble. He is as a river for us, bringing life-giving, sustaining power. And he is sovereign ruler over all. Therefore, be quiet, be still, and know that he is God. Pause and ponder and praise.